Welcome to the Dignity and Respect in Action podcast. This series is brought to you by the UMass Office of Equity and Inclusion and features members of the university community and other experts in the field of diversity, equity, and inclusion. In these episodes, we'll learn about the work and experiences of our guests and gain insight from their expertise. Your host for this podcast is Dr. Nefertiti Walker, Vice Chancellor of Equity and Inclusion and Professor of Sport Management in the Eisenberg School of Management. And now, here's Nef.
Welcome to Dignity and Respect in Action, the podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Nefertiti Walker, and I use she, her pronouns. I've been looking forward to this discussion we'll be having today. Something that we do with this podcast is we share a variety of experiences and stories from folks all across campus that make up our very diverse community here at UMass. Our guest today, Celia Almeida,
Almeida.
Okay, good. Thank you. A UMass staff member in the Graduate Assistantship Office is here with us today to share her story as a person who immigrated to this country as a teenager and how her experiences have shaped who she is today and who she is to our UMass community. So, Celia, it's such a pleasure to have you with us today. Welcome, and thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. So we like to start the pod with an introduction. We want to know a little bit about who you are so that our listeners can get to know you as an individual, but also can you tell us a bit about yourself and how your journey led you to where you are today at UMass?
As you said, my name is Celia Almeida. I am the daughter of two immigrants here. I arrived to this country, United States, when I was 17 years old. I went to high school when I first arrived. I graduated from high school. Then I moved on to a different path. I went to school for a certified medical assistant. That's when I first started here at UMass. I was hired as a medical assistant at the University Health Services. And that was since 2009. I worked at the health services for 9 years at the health services. I worked as a medical assistant for 2 years, then I moved to insurance and billing. I dealt with the student health insurance for about 7 years. And then when I found the opportunity to learn more and meet new people, I applied for this position, which I am right now, at the Graduate Assistantship Office. I've been here for 3 years, and it's been a great experience. I've shared a lot of experience with my supervisor, Deborah, which I've learned a lot with her. Mm-hmm. And since then, I've been here at UMass. I love working here because of the variety of culture, the students, the diversity. And I'm looking forward to accomplish all my goals here.
Tell us about your experiences here at UMass, and particularly your experiences with the Building Bridges program.
I was a part of Building Bridges program for 2 years. I was invited by Jacob and to share our experience. It was, we were probably like nine of us. That was part of it, and each of us were from different country. Mm-hmm. And all of us were still a staff here, actually. And we would just share our experience, where we came from, what we were used to. And when they have the showcase here at UMass, we would just go and talk to other employees and share our experience with them, and they would share their experiences with us. Mm-hmm. And that's just a great thing that I think that they're doing, because a lot of employees here too, they don't know where to go and look for help when they need it. And sometimes they feel like they're not, their voices aren't being heard, which is because they don't know where to go or who to reach so they can talk about their experiences.
Yeah.
So building bridges, I think it's very, very, very good idea. And I really hope that they can expand this project throughout UMass, because it's something that we can share our ideas, we can share our experiences, our doubts, and we can also listen to other employees' stories. And you know, when you share stories, you'll realize that we all have our doubts, we all have our issues, our problems, but at the end of the day, we're here to help each other. We all here because we have our goals, we wanted to succeed in life, and if we, as I said, if we stay focused, we'll make it through it. So we're here to help each other be a better person and reach our goals.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Also want to say that I'm also a student here. I take classes here at UMass, and I started 2 years ago, which has been great. And that's another part of my goals, is to have a degree here too. So, which I've been working on it.
I have so many questions. I have so many follow-ups. This is amazing. I do. I have so many follow-ups.
We never
have enough time for these podcasts, especially when we have folks that have done so much in such, you know, a short amount of time like you have. So I guess my first follow-up question is moving to a new environment at the age of 17. I mean, that feels like something that would be incredibly difficult for a person like me, especially. I'm quite introverted, even though I'm doing this podcast and talking to you, and even though I have to talk often in front of a lot of people, then I teach in front of, like, you know, a lot of students. I'm still very much so introverted. So I was fortunate that I had my friends from middle school that I followed to high school. And then when I switched high schools, I still had that friend group because I lived in the same city. So for you, you know, moving to a different country, not only losing your friends group, but, you know, moving very, very far away from them. How did you manage that? How did you manage that at the age of 17?
It was hard. It was very challenging. It wasn't easy at all, because first of all, when I arrived here, I only knew the basic English, like very basic. So, going to school, it was hard because, I didn't have any tutor back then. I had to figure things out by my own. And I remember a lot of nights that I was crying because I just couldn't understand the assignments after school that I had to do, and I would just cry and just tell my sisters that I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know. I don't understand what they're saying.
Yeah.
Because in class, they would just talk to you like, you know, what are you doing? And you're understanding what they're saying. So that was a very challenging time for me. But luckily, I had my sisters there for me. I had a sister that arrived two years prior than I did.
Okay.
So she kind of had an idea of things. So she would talk to me through it and try to explain to me to take it slow and just do my best. She would just tell me, so you just do your best, take it slow. If you don't understand, just make sure that you let them know right there that you're having a hard time understanding this. If they can take a little extra time to go over certain things with you, which I start doing it and it start helping me a little.
Yeah,
but things got better when I start making friendship with some of the students that we came from the same country, which is Cape Verde. I made friendships with two of the students that they really helped me on that journey through the high school, because it wasn't easy at all. So every time I had questions, they were there for me. And I've learned that it's okay to make mistakes. It's okay if you don't know how to pronounce certain things in English. It's okay to have accent. And because I was scared, and I didn't want to make mistakes. I was a little ashamed at the same time. So it was a tough time for me. That first year was really, really hard for me, until the second year when I started improving myself a little better. And after that, I felt more confident about myself.
Yeah.
I felt more confident asking questions, telling my teacher that I'm not understanding a certain thing, that I need help with this. And finally, I graduated and I had good grades, so I was very happy that I graduated from high school, because it was really a tough time.
Yeah. No, yeah. I mean, I cannot imagine. Mm-hmm. And you said a few things that I thought was interesting. It feels like, so you had a support system from your sisters, right? And particularly the one sister that came over 2 years before you.
Yes.
Was there a moment in high school where it just, things began to come together, whether it was your friend groups, whether it was being able to have the teachers support you in the ways that you needed to be supported? Like, do you remember whether it was a particular year in high school or a particular moment where you felt confident to ask people, to teachers, to slow down, to support you? This is how you need to be supported.
Yeah, my second year in high school, it was probably the best, because that's when I understood with the friends that I made during that year. Because in the first year, my first year, I was just quiet. I wouldn't talk to anybody. I was scared to even start a conversation, because I didn't know if they would ask me something that I didn't know what it meant. So, my second year, when I met to one of my friends, she told me that she started a conversation actually with me. I remember it was in the cafeteria. And she was just like, "Oh, I heard you're Cape Verdean." And I was like, "Yes." And then she said, "Do you speak Creole?" I said, "Yes, I do." And then she started speaking Creole with me. It made me feel so comfortable. Mm-hmm. Then we start speaking the same language. And she wanted to know if I needed any help, mm-hmm. you know, if I'm finding my way around. And I told her that I've got lost a couple of times, and I'm trying to learn, you know, how to get to class, what's the easiest way. She taught me all of that.
Yeah.
That's when I started feeling comfortable. She said, "Well, you know, you can make mistakes. You know, they won't make fun of you if you don't know how to say a word. They'll teach you how to say a word. As a matter of fact, when you say it wrong, they'll teach you how to say a word. Or if you have an accent, that's okay. They know you're not from here. And that's all right." So that's when my second year, I was like more comfortable with myself. I would ask questions. I would stay after school. If I needed help, I would talk to my teachers and let them know that I needed help. I can't do this homework. If they could help me and tell me what's the best way to go. That's when I actually... I had that mindset that it's okay to ask for help. It's okay if you don't know everything. Mm-hmm. You just have to let them know. "I don't know. Can you help me? Can you tell me, or how can you tell me how to research for this?"
Yeah.
So yeah. And that's when I also started to listen to a lot of cartoons. It helped me a lot with my English. I would just sit down and listen to cartoons, and I have to tell you, that really, really helped me a lot.
Yeah, no, that's beautiful. I mean, thinking about how your story and your experiences might resonate with students on our campus, we have students from all over the world on our campus. And I feel like, you know, your experience of being 17 and moving to this new environment, where perhaps, you know, there are language barriers, and having that moment where you connect with someone who is from your community, right? Like, you have something in common. You have a common language, you have a common background, and that just meeting that person is so supportive, and it gives you so much confidence in a sense that you actually belong
Definitely.
Here.
Yes. And you feel just, you feel more secure about yourself, and you'll be like, oh, there's people like me here. There's people that understand what I'm saying. If I say it wrong, they'll correct me and they'll teach me how to say it right. So it's like a relief. It was like, oh, thank God I have someone here that understands what I'm saying or knows what I'm coming from. So it's very helpful.
Yeah. And I think, you know, thinking about the folks that are listening to this podcast, the sooner we can do that for our faculty, staff, and students, the sooner we can help connect them to community members who are familiar to them, speak a similar language, eat similar foods, they can build community and share their culture, I think the better, right? I mean, imagine if you didn't meet that person until your third or fourth year in high school.
Exactly.
That would have been terrible, right?
I mean, yes.
You were able to meet them.
I would probably wouldn't succeed the way I did in high school.
Yeah.
If I haven't met the two friends that I had in high school. So until this day, I'm very thankful for them because they showed me around and they showed me it's okay to make mistakes, to not know everything. So that's very important. That's why I'm always talking about how important the diversity is, how important inclusion is, because when you arrive to a different country, especially during that age when you're a teenager, and you're so confused about everything, or who do you want to be in future, or who do you want to hang out with, or are they going to make fun of me if I say this? They're going to, you know, you have so many doubts in your head. When you find someone, or when you feel like that makes you feel included, it's very important. It's very important. So that's why, as I said, I'm always like trying to talk about inclusion and diversity because it's very important.
Yeah.
It can go a long way. Yeah.
And so you shared a few of the challenges, right? One being the language barriers and the lack of accessibility and our teaching practices, our inability to create space for those who perhaps are American English isn't their first language, right? Were there other distinct barriers that you faced, you know, coming to this country at the age that you did and trying to incorporate yourself into our culture?
The way I was dressing, totally inappropriate for winter.
I can imagine, ready. Right?
I came from an island, and during the winter, I'm thinking like, oh, a jean jacket would do it, or totally no.
No, jeans jacket will not do it. I was raised in Atlanta, Georgia, so down south in the heat. I did all my schooling in Florida, so when I came here, I tried to get away with hoodies. I had hoodies. That's about it.
Yeah,
and it was like that sweatshirt hoodie is not going to get it. I had to buy a coat.
No, that I had to learn it as well. That. You have to dress appropriately because I was like, oh, it's just winter. Like, you know, it's going to be 40 degrees outside. I'll be fine with the hoodie, but no.
Yeah.
That's another thing. Yeah.
Yeah. My mom is Jamaican. Born in Jamaica and immigrated to the U.S. When she was 9 years old. So I was raised in a household, at least on my mom's side, that has, you know, the immigrant experience. And I know for me, the foods that I eat are very much tied to my Jamaican heritage. So even moving from Atlanta and Florida, where there are lots of Jamaicans, and then moving to Western Massachusetts, you know, the food was such a big part of me trying to feel like I belonged here, and finding good Jamaican restaurants, and eventually finding grocery stores where I can buy certain Jamaican foods, whether it's yams, whether it's plantains, green bananas, those sorts of things, right? Talk about that for you, like just that experience of the food and the culture of the food, and what that meant to you.
Until this day, it's still hard to find Cape Verdean food around here.
Yeah,
we have to travel at least 2 hours to
2 hours.
A different city such as Boston, or have a bigger community, Cape Verdean community, that you can find things like tuna that we eat, the corn that we eat, things like that, and even the beans. But until this day, it's hard to find food or the type of food that we usually eat as Cape Verdean around this area.
Yeah.
So that is still not where I would like, you know, us to be. Mm-hmm. I would love to have more access to Cape Verdean food, but that's another I wouldn't say issue, but it's hard when you feel like you wanna eat something from your own country, and you don't have it around here, and you have to travel to a certain place to be able to eat that food. Mm-hmm. So that's why sometimes we have to learn how to cook the food from here, because that's the only options we have. We don't have any options.
Do you cook? Do you cook Cape Verdean food?
I do. Okay. And I love to cook Cape Verdean food.
But sometimes it's nice to have other people cook Cape Verdean food for you.
Exactly. Like my mom, I love when she cooks Cape Verdean food, because she does it way better than I do, of course. And when she calls me, I'm like, I made cachupa, for example. And I'm like, okay, I'm coming over today. And on the weekends, there's another dish that we call couscous, and which is from corn too, and she usually makes couscous, and then she calls us and says, my sisters and I, you guys want to come over for breakfast? I made couscous this morning, and we usually eat for breakfast. So it's nice to have that around here, but again, to find the flour make the corn flour to make the couscous that we eat, we have to travel to Boston.
What is the couscous? What is it? Like, what type of dish is it? Can you describe it?
It's like it's a corn flour. Mm-hmm. You mix it with a little bit. It doesn't just a little bit of yuca flour. Mm-hmm. When you mix it, you have to add water to it, but you don't want to add too much water to it, because it has to. You don't want it too dry, but again, you don't want it too wet. That when you put it on a, it's like there's a pot that you put on for it to cook.
So is it boiled or is it fried?
It's boiled.
Okay.
It's boiled, yeah. And actually it's steamed. You put it, the pot would have to be on top of the steam water for it to cook. Well, you can add cinnamon to it. You can add sugar, which I love it when you add cinnamon and sugar. And then once you put it on a pot, you let it sit there with that steam. It will cook. The flour will cook. And then once you take it out, that's how it comes. It comes out like very pretty couscous. And you cut it, and you can eat it with butter. You can eat with the milk, whatever you want with. But it's one of my favorites. One of my sister's favorite. I'm pretty sure most of Cape Verdean's favorites is couscous. Yeah.
And your mom makes it sometime on the weekends. That's nice.
Yes, it's usually during the weekend. Yeah, when we can all gather, sit down and have breakfast, or on Saturday or Sunday.
Yeah, no, that's nice. And the other dish, cachupa, is that
Cachupa, yeah.
What is that? Cachupa is,
it's also it's made out of a corn.
Okay.
It also has beans. You can choose whatever type of beans you would you want. It comes with you have to add vegetables to it and meat.
A lot is it of like people, a stew?
It's like a stew, yes.
Okay. Okay.
And it's very good. You add everything together and you let it cook for a while. It takes like about 2 hours for it to be ready, but it's worth the time.
Worth the wait.
Yes.
Yeah, no, thank you for sharing that. Like I said, when I moved to Western Massachusetts to accept a position as a professor back in 2011, that was what I was just searching for, Jamaican food. And finally, when I couldn't find restaurants that, you know, cook things the way I like it, I was like, okay, I'm just going to have to cook it. So I could already cook Jamaican food, but I learned how to cook so many other dishes because I didn't have family near me and I wanted Jamaican food. So
yeah,
food is, it's an important part of the experience and feeling like you're a part of a community. So
yeah, definitely. Definitely.
So tell me, what about being at UMass brings you joy?
The diversity of students here at UMass. I cannot tell you how many students that we became friends.
Yeah.
Because of how we approach each other, you know, when they first arrive at UMass. Most of them are a little lost because they don't know where to go. They don't speak the language. And they need help. Mm-hmm. So when they come to me and they know that I can speak Portuguese or Cape Verdean Creole or Spanish, they feel so comfortable. They feel so welcome because I try to speak to them in their own language just to make them feel comfortable and to let them know it's okay. Don't worry. You'll get it. Eventually, you'll go through this, okay, but you'll be fine.
Yeah.
Because I've been through it, I was fine. I did fine. So you're going to be doing just as fine as I did. So
you basically become like your two friends in high school for the students that are coming to our campus.
Exactly. Yeah. Because that in my mind, my two friends, they were so helpful to me. They probably will never know that until now, but they were so helpful to me that till this day, I'll do anything that I can to help other students and let them know they are welcome. They need to feel included. And if they need help, it's okay to ask for help. As a matter of fact, I was just invited to be a tutor at the Amherst Regional School because there are students that are they speak Portuguese as their first language and they needed help. So that to me was incredible. And I feel very honored to be asked to be a tutor at the Amherst Regional School because I've been through that.
Yeah.
So that is amazing. I would love to help. So
that I is told amazing.
Them, I would love to help them and let them know that, you know, this first year might be tough, but the second year you'll be fine. You'll get through this. You'll be just as successful as any other students can be.
Mm-hmm. And coming from you and knowing your experiences, I would imagine that means so much to them.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. I just wanted to share my stories with them and let them know that, you know, it might be hard, but you'll be fine at the end. You'll make it through. Yeah. Just, you know, just stay focused and work on your goals and it will all be worth it at the end.
Yeah. Celia, thank you so much. Thank you for sharing your story. I mean, ending on this full circle of you coming here and having these two friends who showed you the way and supported you. And now, you know, all these years later, you're able to be that for students at Amherst Regional High School is such a beautiful way for us to end this conversation. So thank you for sharing.
Yes, thank you. I was very honored today, actually, when they called me and said, would you like to be a tutor? I said, yes, why not? I can always take two or three times out of my day to help a student or two if they need it. So very fortunate that this happened this morning, and I had this podcast this afternoon that I could share this. Mm-hmm. So it's like a cycle, as you said. And yeah. To me, it's very comforting to know that I am helping other students as others helped me in the past. So I feel very happy.
Yes, and we feel very fortunate. I'm happy that I was able to meet you on this podcast, and I'm happy that you're a part of our community.
Thank you.
Your experiences are what makes us whole. So thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me. I appreciate the time that you gave me to share my experience. And I definitely look forward to more podcasts. And
yes, more podcasts, more stories. This is what it's about.
Yes.
So, well, thank you so much. Yes, thank you so much for joining us today, Celia, and for sharing your story. Especially thank you to our listeners for tuning in today to the Dignity and Respect in Action podcast. If you've enjoyed today's podcast, make sure to hit the subscribe button. And we have many more stories and experiences from our community to share with you in the future. I'm your host, Neff Walker. Be kind, be well, and we will talk to you soon.